Smashville Live is live on a Wednesday night. We are in Bellevue tonight at Brewhouse 100. My name's Max Herz, along with Jay Moore, former Preds defenseman. Joined tonight by two Preds centers. Cody Glass is here. And Colton Sissons is here tonight. Great crowd on hand here at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Smashville Live is presented by Black Abbey Brewing, as always. Cody, Colton, great to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us here.
Great crowd here tonight. Preds playing well right now. Back-to-back wins. We'll start with you, Colton, since you've played in them. What was most fun about a pretty crazy game and a real fun shootout last night in Chicago?
Most fun? I'm probably leaving with 2 points, I guess, but 3 for 3 in the shootout ain't bad.
Those were some nice moves, too. I mean, had the guys been waiting all season for shootout number one, those three?
It looked like it. I know they're watching the video before the shootout prep video, so shout out to Benny Vanderklok for having the boys ready to go.
How often do you guys, or how long do you watch video before every game, just in case it goes into that shootout situation?
Those guys do. I don't. I watch face-offs.
Yeah.
Which is more fun, face-off video or shootout video?
Face-off video for me, yeah. I think.
You got to stick with that one with Derek McKenzie.
Yep.
So, Cody, you've gotten to watch these from afar. Yeah. What stood out to you about a really good last couple weeks watching while you've been injured?
Yeah, it sucks watching, but at the same time, it's been a lot of fun to watch them be successful. And now we're playing fast, hard, and we're beating some good teams. So, it's good that we're getting into the win column. Obviously, we went through a little bit of a losing streak. So, it's nice to get above 500 and come back home.
Another shorthanded goal for you over the weekend, Colton. Another shorthanded breakaway. Crowd loves that. Yeah. Jay Moore loves that,
heck
I know.
Yeah.
What is it like keeping to get these shorthanded breakaways and keep burying them?
I mean, it's great. Feels good. I know I've had a lot of chances over the years, and, we just haven't seemed to score a lot of shorthanded goals in previous seasons. So we're getting some looks this year and just capitalizing when we do.
On your last shorty that you got, and I could almost see, like you saw, I think it was Trennan that threw it off the glass. You read that play. You knew what was coming, right? And you just seemed like you had a couple stride start just because you were able to read that play.
Yeah, that's right. We tried to be pretty predictable when we managed to get possession of pucks, off of their forechecks. So we had two kind of good plays up the strong side, and, I was anticipating little bit, probably maybe a little bit early, but trusted that Trenny was going to get that out for me and had a step on their last guys in the zone, so had lots of room.
Trennan's been so hot recently. What has led to the big turnaround in his game, or turnaround in his production, I would say? His game's been there all year, I feel like.
Yeah, no, he was playing some really good hockey. It was tough to watch him go through that, not producing like he wanted to. He was getting the chances and playing good hockey. So, he's just putting some of his chances away, just like I had mentioned earlier.
Do you feel like things are starting to, with all the new, new teammates coming in, new coaching staff, a little bit of a system change? It takes, the first 20 games to get the feel of things, and kind of goes through a bit of a roller coaster ride almost. And you feel like the team is starting to come together, because there's nights when it just looks like you're really, really feeding off each other, reading off each other.
Yeah, I think it's coming along now. Obviously, when you get taught one thing for so many years and it's just implemented into your brain, it just comes one of those safety blankets that you go to. But I feel like everybody's kind of adjusting now to it, and it's fun to watch. It's fun to play. And so, like, when we're all synchronized together, it works out really well.
Cody, can you kind of explain another step in terms of installing a system? What types of things does that direct you guys? Like, what types of situations does that direct you guys to certain places that it takes time to get down?
Yeah, I think it's just different with every coach that you have. There's different playing styles you can play, and I feel like our team now is playing a lot faster, and especially as a centerman, me and Sizz, we have to do a lot of work defensively and then obviously get up into the rush, so it's a lot of work for the centerman now, but... for us, it's, playing fast. You hear it so much, and, we want to play with joy and play with the puck at all times. So, you know, it's hard to get used to, but once you get the hang of it, it's so fun to play, and it's enjoyable to watch. And that's something I've, when we went through this win streak, we always had the puck. We were playing fast. We were getting a lot of chances, and it's just a fun system to play.
I love the way you break out, too, like the support. You guys are like a 10-foot pass here, 10-foot there, and you're out of the zone. It's just it's fun to watch, and
yeah.
And you're right. It just it looks like the, you know, the chemistry is coming together.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Cody Glass and Colton Sissons are our guests here on Smashville Live. You mentioned it, Cody. You've been out. It's a big responsibility for the centers. You're out. Tommy Novak's been out hurt. What has impressed you about the way the team has continued to play without two of the top three centers in?
Well, just kind of how the build of our team is. You know, even if me and Novi are out or we have D out, it's the culture our team kind of has. Next guy in line steps up and, you know, is doing their best to, you know, seize opportunity. And I feel like our team's been doing that no matter who it is. Everybody's scoring, everybody's producing. And it's, like I said, it's fun to watch. You cheer for these guys. And obviously it sucks not being around the team when they're on road trips and stuff like that. But I'm doing my best to come back. Novi's doing his best. So, like I said, I hate watching, and hopefully I'm back soon.
And Colton, you've been in there through all of this. What has stood out to you about why you guys have been able to keep playing well without two really important forwards?
I think we've just had a lot of good performances up and down the lineup. And I mean, Factor's playing great hockey right now and really carrying the mail offensively. And we've had production kind of down the lineup. All four lines have produced and created just positive hockey for us. If it's not a goal, it's just playing good hockey. So guys have just really stepped up. Everyone has stepped up their game. And, you know, it's tough without these guys, especially on the offensive side of the puck. But we've had some good depth scoring, which has kept us alive here.
Did you know Ryan O'Reilly well before he got here, Colton?
No, just from the face-off circle.
Not a good place to get to know him,
no,
really.
No, not really.
What has it been like seeing him as a teammate through these last few months?
It's been great. I mean, he fit in just so seamlessly. Everything that we had heard about him was so positive. Just a true professional, the way he works every day and how he is off the ice, just getting guys together and doing all those things as well. So he lived up to the hype for sure. He's fit in very, very nicely.
Give us a little inside scoop on the face-off circle. You guys, when you go head-to-head, like you played against him, you're whole life, now your teammates, but how do you guys prepare for, obviously, you know, tendencies and that kind of stuff, but do you guys chirp a little bit at each other out there and on the face-offs? Or
I'd say that's probably one of the Sizzy questions. Sizzy takes like 30 draws a game, but he's one of our best centermen, so I feel like I learn off him because he's been in the league for so long. He's went against so many pros, I feel like, in that face-off dot. So him and Factor are just two huge guys to have for me, and Novi and all these young guys coming up to kind of just read off of him being a righty, me being a righty. So I've started to get a lot better, and I give credit to, obviously, Sizz, guys like Joey, Factor, that have helped me along the way. So,
what do you think about that, Colton? All the credit going to you there.
I think we earned it. No, I'm joking. We have a lot of good centermen, and same thing. I had guys that taught me the way in my early career. So, you know, you pay it forward a little bit.
Well, is it truly just an experience thing that makes you better at it, just taking more and getting your technique down?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you got it. You got it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a number of factors that go involved. But certainly it's technique. Certainly there's strength involved. You know, young guys come in the league, they have a hard time just because they're not as strong as some guys that are, you know, 30 years old, 35 years old, that have put on a lot of weight and a lot of strength over the years. So there's some of that as well. And then there's just the will factor. How bad do you want it? You got to get in there and bend your knees and bite down in your mouth guard and just find a way.
What's the importance? Explain to us of taking a draw and winning the face-off. You guys are both at, you know, 55% pretty much consistently throughout the year on in the face-off circle in the win column. But what is the mindset like when you win that face-off as compared to when you lose it? You know, we talk about puck possession and that kind of stuff and what that leads to. Just kind of give everybody a little insight on how important that really is.
I think with our team, we want to play with the puck. So the more faceoffs we win, the more we start with it. And, you know, it just leads to better opportunities. If you're taking an O-zone draw, power play faceoff, that just gives you the extra ice time in zone. And then there's crucial faceoffs like penalty kill, D-zone. So there's so much that goes into it. There's a lot of pressure sometimes because it does. There's so many things that go into it. If you win a lot of draws, it could give you an extra 3 minutes of ice time. It could lead to, you know, more opportunities in different areas of the game. So that's something you just have to work on. A lot of people kind of look at it as just, you know, it's a face-off. But for us, it's a good job quality to have, and it gives you an extra opportunity.
A lot of little details inside the 60-minute game. You break it down, and it's just all details and a game within a game.
Two of the Pred centers are in the building tonight. We're going to take a break for Cody Glass and Colton Sissons to sign some autographs here for our great Preds fans here in Bellevue tonight at Brewhouse 100. Smashville Live is presented by Black Abbey Brewing. Jay Moore, Max Herz, Cody Glass, and Colton Sissons here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Max Herz and Jay Moore here in Bellevue tonight, along with Predators centers Cody Glass and Colton Sissons. A lot of autographs, boys. Good work. Good work.
Yeah, I try my best. I'm working on it.
You do well. How's your signature?
It's not bad. A lot of practice over the years, so... starting off, I didn't really have one. It'd just be CG, but CG and a little bit of scribbles, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know what my signature is.
Jay wanted to ask Colton for his autograph tonight, but he might be nervous. I don't know.
I left my picture of Colton out in the truck, so I'm going to have to run out and get it next break.
We talked about it a lot during the post-game shows. Colton is Jay's favorite Pred, and Jay's one of my favorite players, so you're my favorite player's favorite player, Colton. Congratulations.
There it is. Appreciate the love.
You're making it sound like I'm a fanboy now, and
that's not how
this started. I told him one time that I appreciated the glue guys of the team, and that was a couple years ago, 2 years ago,
beginning of last season, I think. Yeah.
And I mean, that's to me, Colton. That's what you represent. You're the guy that the character, the grit. You can play any position, up and down the lineup. And you've proven it over the years, and that was kind of, I always took pride when I played, was, you know, killing penalties, being the guy that, the shutdown guy, the last 2 minutes of the game, you were out there, you know, hacking and whacking, protecting that lead in your own zone, that's your game right there. And even though, I mean, offensively, you've had a career of, like, even in Milwaukee, you had back-to-back, 25 goal seasons?
Yeah, I think 25.
Yeah, throughout junior, you had some pretty good years offensively, but you kind of get put in that role of when you get up to this level, right? You just fill that role, whatever you're put into, and it maybe evolves over the years. But I think that you've earned that keep that character guy that Max so often mentions.
No, thank you.
Well, there you go.
And I don't
you
even,
let him know.
I don't even know where we're going with this segment. This I just got rattling on there. So
well, let's talk about these guys' journeys a little bit. As you talk about Colton's journey, Colton, you played your juniors in Kelowna, as a lot of the current Preds did, but you weren't teammates with any of those guys there, who are currently on our team, right?
I was, yeah. Tyson Berry was my captain
for 1 year.
For 1 year.
Okay. Yeah. So what was Tyson Berry like as a junior captain?
I can hardly remember, man. That's so long ago. He was good to me though. I wasn't a 16-year-old. I was a little bit of an older rookie, so I don't think they abused me too bad back then. He was good to me.
So you go off, you play for the Rockets for 3 seasons?
Yeah, 3 seasons.
What is it like going up through that junior path, being from Vancouver and taking that path toward pros?
I mean, it was great. Kelowna's, probably a top 3 place to play in junior hockey, maybe in Canada as a whole, but certainly in the WHL. So we were treated like we were professionals there. Had some great coaching, and Ryan Huska, who's the head guy in Calgary, and Dan Lambert, who's assistant there. Obviously, we're familiar with him.
So, I mean, it was pretty dialed in. It was a recipe for success, for sure.
What sticks with you the most from your time there?
I think, I don't know. It's a tough question. I don't know. I think I really learned and understood that two-way game that I've been able to translate to pro. I learned that I could, you know, give myself a lot of opportunity by just the work ethic it takes to be a solid defensive player and try and produce at the same time. I learned that in Kelowna, so tried to take that with me along the way here.
I don't get a chance to talk, like, with two Western leaguers. That's where I played for 4 years, so this is kind of a good opportunity. But, Cody, you're from Winnipeg.
Yep.
You end up in Portland on the West Coast. That's a long ways from Winnipeg.
Was
Portland one of the top three that Colton said was one of the top three places to play in the Western League when you were there?
I had no idea of where Portland was at the time. So I was like, I'm 15 years old. I got drafted, or 14 or whatever it was. And I literally have no idea where Portland, Oregon is. And I'm like, of course, it's the farthest place possible from home.
Yeah.
So my dad's scared. I was more happy. I'm like, oh, nice. I get to leave and, you know, get billeted somewhere and play hockey. That's pretty cool. But it's a great franchise. My coach was Mike Johnson and Jamie Compton throughout my junior years. So I developed really well. They treated me really good. My billets to this day are still in contact with me, which I'm very thankful for. But it was crazy. It was crazy times being from a small city in Winnipeg and just going to a big city in Portland, Oregon was a huge change for myself.
One last question on the Western League before
we could go all day.
We get on. Let everybody know what the bus rides are like in Portland or wherever you were playing, whether you were in the Western Division or the Eastern Division. I can remember taking a bus trip. Our final game was in Portland Friday night, and we had a 36-hour bus ride back to Brandon for a game like 48 hours later. And the bus driver took a wrong turn at Spokane and added on another 8 hours to the trip. So, and we got off the bus just in time to get our frozen equipment in Brandon and take it into the dressing room and suit up for the game. So, you guys have to have stories like that over the years.
Yeah, it was like our closest road trip game was Seattle, and it was 2.5 hours. So that was our closest. The next was like 3.5 hours. So those trips were brutal. But there's one playoff series that we had. We played Prince George in the first round of the playoffs, and it's a 16.5-hour bus trip. And then it's also you have to cross the border, do all this stuff. And they thought they had the advantage on us going 2-2-1-1-1 because they do the travel all the time. Their closest trip is like 6 hours or something like that. And so we ended up beating them in six games. But one of the games we played, I think it was game four in Portland, and then we had to drive, and 2 days later played in Prince George, did the exact same thing coming back. So all of us are young kids playing through like no sleep. But it was fun. Like, they thought they had the advantage. I'm like, dude, we're all 16 years old, 17 years old. Like, we have so much energy. I can do this all day, man. So that's, like, just my experience from the WHL. We had a nice bus. We had a Lazy Boy seats, 2-in-1. So
wow.
We got treated nicely, yeah.
Big time. What about you, Colton?
Yeah, I mean, we all had pretty gnarly travel in juniors. I don't think I had a 40-hour trip, though. You got me beat on that one. But often 8, 9, 10 hour bus trips and through the night, and getting up for school at 8 a.m. was pretty tough the next day after getting in at 4, but found a way to do it.
And you when you get off the bus, like, you arrive an hour before game time and you've been sitting there and your legs are cramped up. The coach would usually drop you off a mile from the rink so you'd get a little fresh air in Prince Albert.
Yeah,
you know, it was minus 40, and you'd have to walk from the bus to the arena. So yeah, those are good stories, good memories.
Well, and Colton, you mentioned it. I mean, you guys are in high school. You're still going to school through all this. And, Cody, you were doing it in America. I mean, you switched countries as you did this too. What is all that like in the CHL?
Well, it sucks because people are like, oh, the WHL is so easy for schooling. So I was like, oh, perfect. Like, it's going to be such a cakewalk. I, like, soon found out that it's actually really hard. And 60 and under is a fail, and 60 and over is a pass. In Winnipeg, it's 50 and under. And I'm just like, okay, so I have to try even harder now.
So you were saying you're a great student in Winnipeg.
So, yeah.
Not so good.
Now I'm not a good student in America. But, yeah, like my experience is being told that if you go college, that's good for schooling. WHL, not so good for schooling. And our staff and all of the teachers that we use, the high schools and stuff like that, were really good to us just because we're on the road all the time and we're doing assignments all the time on the road. So we had a bunch of tutors all the time, and it was good. It was hard traveling and doing school at the same time, but I got it done. I graduated, so I'm over. Hope I don't have to do that again. So.
Did either of you guys consider either American college or different paths at any point?
Yeah, I did. I was a little bit of a late bloomer. I didn't get drafted to the CHL or the WHL. So I played in the BC Hockey League for 1 year. And I was talking with a few schools and got down to the nitty gritty. Was about to commit to Northeastern, I think it was. And then Kelowna came calling. So I jumped up. I was playing in West Kelowna at the time, so it was like a 15-minute drive across the bridge. So I ended up going to the WHL.
Do you think a lot about what college would have been like for your hockey career?
Yeah, I think I made the right decision.
Yeah, you definitely did.
My next life, I'll do the college route. But, yeah, no, I think it worked out okay.
That would have been a long ways away, too, from Vancouver to Boston.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit. What about you, Cody?
I remember, like, you're 14 years old, so it's, like, such a weird thing. The only WHL team I ever talked to other than Portland was the Brandon Wheat Kings, which is 2 hours away from home. So those were the two teams I thought I might get drafted by, but Portland had a draft pick in the first round and then didn't have one until, like, the third or fourth round. So I didn't think I was going to get taken by them, and then they ended up taking me in the first round, which was huge. I was, like, 5'8", like, 115 pounds. I was like, wow, I'm getting drafted with that. One of my good buddies that I kind of played summer hockey with is Mikey Anderson and Joey Anderson. Mikey Anderson plays on the LA Kings, and he went to Minnesota Duluth. And so that was the one team that I talked to kind of growing up. But I think we all agreed to go the WHL route just because, you know, hockey's a lot of money. And, you know, the younger age, the equipment comes for free. So it was kind of a no-brainer for my family and I to kind of go there and, you know, pursue my dreams in the WHL.
Well, if you were to keep talking with UMD at that point, what would you have done in the years between?
I have no idea.
It's a lot of time to fill.
There's the USHL. I mean, MJHL, I would not play in Manitoba Junior Hockey League. It's too scary. but, yeah, I have no idea. That's a good thing that I don't have to think about that now.
Is the MJHL actually scary, Jay? Manitoba's own Jay Moore?
Yeah, not as bad as it used to be, but it was you had to be tough to play.
Yeah. Play there. And Cole Smith was up there, right?
Yeah, look at him. He's psycho.
Yeah, he survived. We'll take a break. Cody Glass and Colton Sissons will sign more autographs for the fans. Here on Smashville Live, presented by Black Abbey Brewing, here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We are at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue tonight, second of three straight Wednesday nights with a Smashville Live show. Next week we will be back in Cool Springs at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria with two more Predators players. Cody Glass and Colton Sissons are our guests tonight, still signing some autographs. Max Herz and Jay Moore, your hosts here this evening. Great crowd here at Smashville Live. Did you guys just sign a license plate? Is that what I saw?
I think so. I don't know. I don't really look anymore. I just keep going.
What is the coolest or weirdest thing you've ever signed, Cody?
It's a great question, actually. Piece of glass one time.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Joke writes itself.
Yeah, very funny.
Yeah. What about you, Colton?
I honestly don't even know. Nothing too crazy, nothing too noteworthy, I don't think.
Nobody's brought anything too crazy to these either, but I don't know, if you got something, come bring it.
Seriously. So,
there's some other glasses in the hockey world too, right? Tanner Glass? Who are the other glasses?
Tanner Glass, Jeff Glass. I don't know, know, there's probably a bunch. I'm not related to any of them. So.
I didn't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Uncle Dave Glass.
Yep, Dave Glass.
I know your Uncle Dave.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
I skated with him.
That sucks.
Down in Florida many times. Every time I go down there, he recruits me for an adult game and a beverage after.
Yeah, my uncle's claims he's good, but he has all my sticks. So I hope he's doing
he claims that you got the genes, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that he passed on.
Is he good, Jay, or no?
Yeah, he's a pretty solid, smart player.
Jay admits it. Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah. I don't know. Is that smart player?
Well,
does that
we always
mean he's
have
not
a good time. I don't know. Actually,
it's the beers.
I don't know.
The beers
really
make him
good,
think he's good, yeah.
He probably thinks you're terrible, Jay. Yeah.
Yeah, whenever he comes to Nashville, we always end up at Tootsie's post game. And, it's great. Everybody's great then.
It's the rowdy Manitobans.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we got two Manitobans here. Have you ever been to Deloraine, Manitoba, Cody? Jay Moore Family Farm?
I have played there, I think, before.
Wow.
There you go, right there. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've always played against, like, we'd always do summer hockey tournaments. I've had a couple players I've played with from there.
Yeah, okay. You played midget AAA,
midget,
right?
Midget AAA.
In Winnipeg.
So, yeah. So it would have been, I think, Southwest Cougars played there.
Yeah, you're right.
So then, played at that rink. I think that's one of the rinks where it's a wall. And it's like, there's no glass. It's literally a wall.
It's
and then,
over, yeah.
It's, yeah, it's a weird rink. So
and it's in play?
Yeah, it's in play. So it's like there's to a certain point, and it's like you hit a straight wall. It, weird.
And like that for him, he comes from the city, right? They would never come out, never come out and want to play. They always had nice arenas in the city, but to get them to come out and play us in the country was really, really a rarity. So yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
Is there one rink in Deloraine, or are there multiple?
Oh, there's one in every small community in Western Canada.
Well, you make it seem like your family's the only one there. I know that's not true. But.
Well, it's a town of, there might be 100 people there now. There's no stoplights or anything. Or like people say they're from a small town here in the U.S., and it's like 50,000 people. But, no, that's pretty big. That's serious population in Manitoba.
I can't believe you guys went there. The Winnipeg teams?
Yeah, went there, and it was a terrible experience. You just get beat up for 60 minutes, and then you go home, and you're just like, why'd I do that? So
those farm boys are tough.
Yeah,
and
really
Jay Moore will let you know. Cody Glass and Colton Sissons are our guests here on Smashville Live. And Cody, one of the most Canadian things you've ever done, we heard you proposed in the Canadian section of Epcot last year. Is that true?
I did do that. And it was, I was told not to do it by the castle or she'd say no, or just literally anywhere else. So I don't know. I was panicking. I didn't know what to do. I'm just like, we're doing, like, the whole walk at Epcot. So there's, like, different little places. There's Japan, Mexico, all these places. And I waited till the last one, which was Canada, because I was just, like, stage fright. So many – I'm like, I want to do it in a nice, quiet area. And I was like, yeah, let's go to Disneyland to do it where there's thousands of people. So I was terrified, but I ended up doing it. I blacked out. I don't even know what I said. She said, yeah, so it worked out well.
All right.
Yeah.
Gets a round of applause here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it wasn't for the Canadian bit. It was just took you a while?
It took, I was terrified. I knew she was going to say yes. I wasn't at the castle, so it was going to be a for sure yes. And then
what's wrong with the castle? Too stereotypical?
Yeah, I guess so. I was like, it's cool. I don't know. Like, now you get a waterfall. You get to make, like, it's just a terrible version of the Niagara Falls. So there you go.
Close enough.
Yeah.
So, Colton, you guys get back from the All-Star break. I mean, is he hearing it for that? Too stereotypical on the Canadian side or no?
I don't think he took any too much heat, honestly. We respected it. It was a long time coming, so we were happy for the two of them.
Yeah. Everybody likes Bailey better than me, so that's just how it goes.
That's awesome. Well, you guys have been in Nashville for multiple years now. Colton, you've been here your whole career. A lot of people always want to know your favorite thing about being a pro athlete here. We'll start with you, Colton.
Favorite thing about being a pro athlete here? I mean, I just like being a person that lives in Nashville. I don't think the pro athlete status has anything to do with it, really. I like going out and eating. I like eating. So I'm out at trying restaurants, and the food scene here has changed a lot. It's grown a lot, so I'm happy to be a part of that stuff. I'm out there trying new stuff all the time.
What are some of your favorites, if you want to give any away? You don't have to.
No, I don't mind. I like supporting them. One of my favorites is in Germantown, Rolf and Daughters. Great place.
Nice.
Some homemade pastas and stuff there. So they do a bang-up job there.
What about you, Cody?
Chick-fil-A. I think my favorite spots are like 60 Vines, Virago, another good one. But I think that's probably it, like those two. I'm not really like a foodie, really. My fiance is, so we do whatever she wants, kind of.
Little different scene than in Winnipeg, than in the summer.
Oh, yeah, right? There's no sushi in Winnipeg. Yeah. I mean, there is, but I don't know where it's from. So,
Lake Manitoba, right?
Yeah, I'm scared to eat it. So, but, yeah, it's a lot better here. That's like I played in Portland, Oregon, so that's where I never had sushi in Winnipeg until I moved to Portland, which I heard is a good thing. And then so that's where I kind of liked it. And then Vancouver is a really good spot, so when I went there, that's probably where my favorite sushi spot is.
Tell us about your summers, where you spend most of your time in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I'll train in Winnipeg for a good amount of time, and then mid-August I'll come back to Nashville. I think it's just a good mixture of both. I get to see friends, family, all that stuff. I'll go back to Portland, Oregon a little bit to visit my girl's family. But other than that, it's, you know, I have very routine-based just training, family, golf, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then come back here and it's kind of just go time.
Yeah. Colton, what about you?
I've spent most of my time in Nashville now. I'm almost year-round here these days. So I try to get back home a couple weeks out of the summers. But, yeah, most of the time I'm here training and golfing and doing my thing down here.
That's awesome, man. Cody, you played in Vegas briefly as well before the Preds traded for you. What was that like in the early years of that team?
That was cool. I was 20, so I wasn't the legal age to do anything. And then COVID happened when I turned 21. So it was cool. Like, you get treated really good there. The city's just a big show at all times. But it was a great experience. Everybody was really good to me there. I think it was very annoying when, like, family and stuff would come down because they want to go to the strip, want to do all that stuff. And, you know, it's tiring going to the strip all the time because all you do is walk and, you know, go to dinner down there. But there's a lot of spots that are outside the city. We lived in an area called Summerlin, which is like 15 minutes off the strip, which is very quiet, very nice, like well done area. So I really like that area. Getting to see all the places that people don't really see is good. But, you know, sometimes it gets old, summer all year round. So it's nice to have all the seasons here in Nashville.
Cody Glass and Colton Sissons are our guests here on Smashville Live. We'll take another break for autographs and pictures. Come back with some fan questions after this. We are at Brewhouse 100 here in Bellevue. Reminder, we got another show coming up next week with two more Preds players at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Smashville Live is presented by Black Abbey Brewing. Max Hers, Jay Moore, Cody Glass, and Colton Sissons here on your radio home for Preds hockey, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Our final segment here at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Max Hers and Jay Moore with Preds centers Cody Glass and Colton Sissons here tonight. We got Vanderbilt basketball coming up next. You guys want to take some fan questions?
Love to.
Yeah, man.
All right. Gina, the floor is yours. Who
All
do we
right.
got?
We got Jonah and Noah from Columbia. And they came from hockey practice. They have two different questions.
If you weren't playing hockey, what would you be doing for a career?
If you weren't playing hockey, what would you be doing for a career? Or even another sport you would play, too?
I mean, if I had the talent, I'd probably say golf, but I really don't. So I think that the jury's out on that one.
Preferably like a trophy husband or something. no, I'm just kidding. I actually have no idea. I'd say golf. But anything else? Maybe like a psychologist or something like that.
Nice. Yeah. A little different from trophy husband.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's number one.
All right, Noah.
What advice do you have for me who wants to make the NHL?
What advice do you have for a young hockey player who wants to make the NHL?
You want to take this one?
Yeah, it's a,
go ahead, Cody.
That's a great question. I'm just trying to think of all the stuff I've been told. And I just say just keep working at it. There's a lot of – it's hard to get to the NHL, but if you just put the time, dedication, and have fun doing it, that's the biggest thing. If you're having fun, then just keep going. But do what you can. If you're at home, stick handle, do push-ups, do all the little things that, you know, some people aren't doing. And, you know, just work on the craft that, make your weaknesses your strengths and just keep working on your strengths to make them even better. So that's probably my advice.
Good advice from Cody Glass right there. Hey, you guys are lucky that they already had their practice today. Last show we were here, they asked UC Saros and Kevin Lankinen to come with them to their practice after the show.
They're too nice to say no to.
Yeah, I know, that's the thing.
They might have done it.
They actually have a second practice after the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we got a two-a-day over here.
Two-a-day.
Oh, wow. There you go. Keep doing those.
Yeah, that's better, yeah.
Already following the advice. All right, Gina, who's next?
All right, we got super fan Ryan from Mount Juliet.
Hey, Colt, this is mainly for you. How did it feel to watch O'Reilly pretty much and the team shut down Crosby last time he played Pittsburgh? And how did it feel for you to win against Malkin in the faceoff circle and pretty much shut him down in the faceoff circle?
Well, it always feels good to take care of the Penguins, of course. O'Reilly did do a wonderful job against Crosby, which is good to see. They had a tough matchup that night, and they came out on the better end of it, I'd say. I think I snapped a couple faceoffs back from Malkin, so I was happy about that too.
All right, Gina, way in the back now. Who we got?
Yeah, we got Shelby from Nashville.
Hi, Cody. My question is, do you have any pre-game rituals that you will make for a good game?
I do. I think I've been doing the same kind of routine since I was like 16 and junior. I try and stay away from like the mains, like being too routine oriented. There was a time where like I'd have to put my stick in like a certain spot, or if someone touched it, I'd be like, "Cam, I'm gonna have a terrible game." But now it's more of just doing the certain stretches, playing soccer, kind of just getting warm, and then that's pretty much it. Like I do that kind of routine. I always do my left side up first. That's another routine.
What about you, Colton?
Yeah, I'm a left side guy as well. I don't think it'll like totally upend my day if I don't. I'm not too too into anything too structured, but a lot of caffeine. That's a lot of coffee.
Straight coffee or also soda too?
Oh, not soda. No, not soda. Okay. Just caffeine.
Well, I've
just
seen some guys who drink soda during games sometimes. Yeah, Tomasino's a soda guy at intermissions.
He's crazy, man.
I think he just he just likes Cokes.
I don't even think it's for caffeine. He just wants Coke. He has M&M's too. It's weird.
I do have some cola once in a while for a little shot of sugar if I need a little pop energy for the third.
Our nutritionist says we can do that. So
yeah,
just put that out there.
So anybody else who's got weird routines now that we're dishing on others on the Preds?
I'm trying to think of like who's super.
O'Reilly gets fully undressed and goes in the cold tub in between every period.
Yeah.
Really?
Which is pretty
crazy.
Nuts.
Every game, every period break?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. It's insane.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah. I don't know. You get anxiety. You have like 15 minutes to get all your equipment off, jump
time.
In the cold tub, come back. And so it's worked for him. It's 1,000 games. I guess that's how his body's been holding up really well.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to top that.
No, I don't think you can.
All right, back to you, Gina.
We got Ariel from Johnson City.
So since you guys like country, what's your ideal CMA Fest lineup?
Ooh, your ideal CMA Fest lineup.
To you, question.
That's a great question. I got a couple of my favorites, Chris Stapleton, Luke Combs. Could maybe throw in Lainey Wilson in there, maybe. I like her. Yeah, I think I'll go with those three.
Have you been before in the summers you've been here, Colton, to CMAs?
Yeah, I have.
Who all have you seen?
I went this past year. I think Eric Church was the headliner the night that I went, I believe. So, yeah, it was a cool experience. I haven't been that many times. A lot of times I'm away or home in June, but, yeah, it was fun.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys for the amazing questions. We'll clap it up for our crowd tonight. And we'll end on this note. Tomorrow night, the Lightning are here. Tanner Jeannot coming in as a visitor for the first time. Colton, you played so much with him. I know you're probably not excited to face him because it's not fun to be on the other team as him, but are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's a good kid, a good friend of mine, so it's always good to see those boys again that you played with and had a strong relationship with, but yeah, I'll keep my head up when he's on the ice for sure.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, yeah. I didn't even realize they're playing right now.
Yeah, I just saw that. I'm happy to see that. Yeah.
They'll be tired coming in here for us?
Let's hope so.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight, guys. I think we got one final round of autographs, but we'll end the show there. We got Vanderbilt basketball against San Francisco coming up next here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We'll be back next week at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs with two more Predators players. But that's it from Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue tonight. Smashville Live, as always, is presented by Black Abbey Brewing. For Cody Glass, Colton Sissons, and our co-host Jay Moore, my name is Max Herz. Thanks for listening to Smashville Live and Preds Hockey here on 102.5 The Game.